I gotta go finish mine.
You wanna?
We will start with Madam Chair.
Call to order the Business, Labor, and Economic Development Committee on May 2nd.
Yeah.
And we'll start a public hearing with House Bill 2500, A in Growth. Mr. Putman, if you would describe what the bill does.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is a fairly straightforward bill that allows a court to not award attorney fees if the employee's attorney didn't give reasonable notice to the employer for a wage claim.
Do we have anyone signed up to testify?
Pam? Probably not. Look, just a moment. I notified Representative Cruz, mm-hmm. who was the sponsor of the bill. I don't believe it had any opposition in the House, in the committee. It did come out of the floor of a 52-2 vote.
Are there any questions or comments from members of the committee?
We in a work session.
It's a pretty straightforward bill, I think.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 2500A and Growth. Move to work session on House Bill 2500A and Growth.
I'm sure. I move House Bill 2500A and Growth to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr moves House Bill 2500A and Gross to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any objection? So ordered.
I'll carry.
Senator Starr will carry. Mr. Putman, are we ready for House Bill 2549?
You betcha.
All right. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2549. Mr. Putman.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, this bill is clarifying legislation that came out of the last session of the legislature. The intent was the President of the Senate and Speaker of the House each appoint a person to as ex officio members of this International Trade Commission. What wasn't all that clear is that the Speaker was to appoint a member of the House and the President of the Senate was to appoint a member of the Senate. This does that and declares an emergency.
Okay. Do we have any public testimony?
They sign up on that one, Pam.
Okay.
Nope.
All right. I would just say to my colleagues that I currently serve as the Senate member and representative on the International Trade Commission and support the measure before us. Any other questions or comments?
You'll be declaring a conflict of interest, I see.
Thank you. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2549. Open the work session on House Bill 2549.
Madam Chair.
Senator Harper.
I'll move HB 2549 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Harper has moved House Bill 2549 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection? So ordered.
I'd be happy to.
Senator,
if you wanted to.
No. Senator Harper. Senator Harper carries. And the work session on House Bill 2549. And open a public hearing on House Bill 2702, A and Gross. Mr. Putman.
Yes, Madam Chairman, this bill comes to you with an amendment and an engrossed amendment. The purpose of the bill is to require certain disclosures from at a mobile home park about construction that might have to be done by a prospective buyer. An example of such construction would typically be a carport or maybe a storage shed or something of the kind. The amendment, and it should show in your hand engrossed, takes out the fiscal penalty if the park owner doesn't give a written statement of the required construction. He's still required to do it, but it takes out the penalty. The amendment that is conceptually brought to us by the Department of Justice clarifies exactly what information has to be in a written agreement. And that is not before us. I have, on behalf of the committee, ordered that and the dash 4 combined into a single amendment and tentatively scheduled it for next Monday, if that's your choice. But if I use the C word, Secretary of the Senate will be down here, and I don't want to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Putman. We won't use the C word. Are there questions or comments for Mr. Putman? Then let's go to our testimony, public testimony. Don Miner, Mr. Miner, Pat Schwab, Ms. Schwab, and Cheryl Telegram. Ms. Telegram, please. Thank you.
That would be Pellegrini. Fine Irish name.
Irish?
I'm sorry for that mispronunciation.
Okay, maybe it's not Irish. Too many vowels.
Good morning, Matt, or good afternoon.
Certainly, Mr. Miner, if you'd like.
My name is Don Miner. I'm here on behalf of Oregon Manufactured Housing to speak in support of this legislation. This is a piece of legislation that was developed by our association with support of the consumers, park owners, and the Department of Justice. It's a relatively simple bill. It requires that a park owner and a person who provides goods and services to a consumer to give them the consumer a written statement of what they're, what's required and what they're getting. It's focused on improvements to mobile home parks, manufactured home parks, or facilities in the new parlance, or homes placed in parks. You don't have to go back all that many years. Park developers used to provide all of the improvements needed to put a home in a park. Those included garages, carports, sidewalks, driveways, SDCs, etc. But probably beginning late 80s, early 90s, park owners began to shift those costs to consumers, partly in response to land costs. And in any event, without talking about why that happened, it has happened. And consumers now are required to pay for those improvements. Now, most of these improvements cannot be removed from the park in the event that the consumer goes away, takes his home and leaves. What this legislation does then is requires that the park owner tell the consumer with a great deal of precision what is going to be required as a condition of moving in. Further, dealers, who are usually going to be the person who provides these goods and services, are going to be required to tell the consumer what he's providing and what it will cost. Now, we assume that is the cost isn't necessarily to the penny, but you know, a very good estimate of what it will cost. And we're doing this so that the consumer can make an informed choice as to whether or not he would, it's a good deal to move into this community, whether he can afford to pay the cost. But also we're doing it because some consumers have signed agreements where they've paid as much as $20,000 or $30,000 for these improvements without necessarily knowing exactly what they were getting for their money. That's probably not a reasonable circumstance to put a consumer in, and so we're trying to correct that. The bill before you would impose a penalty on both the park owner and the provider if they failed to provide this information. The park owners would prefer not to have that penalty, and we're okay with that. As even with the amendment, though, the retailer will suffer a penalty if he fails to properly provide the information. The penalty to the park owner actually will be that if he wanted the consumer to provide a two-car carport, he forgets to tell anybody about it, his penalty is he gets a house and he doesn't get a carport. That's probably a good enough penalty without further penalizing him. So I understand the Department of Justice is also proposing an additional amendment dealing with what can be challenged in terms of the writing. We're supportive of that. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Miner. Mr. Putman.
Mr. Miner, you also requested on the first page on line 15 that the phrase statement of costs be changed to statement of estimated costs.
Madam Chair, Mr. Putnam, that's correct. We want to make sure that the dealer is held to some precision, but we don't want him to suffer litigation because it cost $2.10 when he said it was going to be $1.98. Although as those numbers scale up, we assume there's a certain reasonableness
that's
there.
Point out.
But it's a good, I assume implicit there is a good faith estimate of the cost.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Miner?
Schwach, yes.
Schwach.
For the record, my name is Pat Schwach. I'm with Manufactured Homeowners of Oregon. We support this bill, and I just Saturday had something happen that really makes this terribly important. We were in a park in Cornelius where they had some 38 spaces, and as we drove through it, we were seeing repo signs everywhere. We ran into this young woman and her son, and as my kids say, anybody that's under 50 is young, so I suppose she could have been 45, you know. Anyway, and we said to her, what's going on in here? And she said, well, we only have 10 spaces still occupied now. And she said, my husband and I have talked about trying to get out of here, but if we do, because we bought the park package, we will have to sell our house for $15,000 more than the Blue Book. And with that, she looked at me with, and you know what that chance is. So I think this is terribly important, that it's something that probably was long overdue, but we need to see it, because that's not an isolated case, and I know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Ms. Pellegrini from the Department of Justice, please.
Thank you, Chair Gordley, members of the committee. Good afternoon. My name is Cheryl Pellegrini. I'm with the Department of Justice. Just a couple of comments, and we circulated, and each of you should have received a copy of the Attorney General's Manufactured Housing Task Force report, and then a two-page written testimony that I prepared. Just a couple of points in following on what Mr. Miner and Ms. Schwach have mentioned. We described 2702A as a result of the Attorney General's Manufactured Housing, as being a result of the Attorney General's Manufactured Housing Task Force. We had originally drafted our own bill, but then have since worked on the House side with the Oregon Manufactured Housing Association and with the Oregon State Tenants Association to craft a single bill, and it is 2702A. Ms. Schwach's point is well taken. One thing that this bill will do is it will clearly set out for a tenant the improvements that they own versus the improvements that are going to be considered by a park owner to be site improvements. This becomes especially important in terms of financing. It gives the buyer a lot more information and very valuable information when they negotiate the terms of a loan for their house and the park pack and any other costs that may be rolled into the loan. It'll give them a much better idea of what exactly the value of the property that they're purchasing is going to be, as opposed to the amount that they're the total amount that they're going to be financing. And we found throughout the task force meetings that it's this lack of information that caused a number of tenants to get into parks and to get into financing arrangements that they went in, we call it, they went in upside down, meaning that the value of the property they purchased or that was financed was not as much as the total amount financed because there were other charges rolled in, like a park package, a property that they weren't going to own. We also found that there were some finance arrangements that included debt consolidation and that the consumer wasn't aware of this, and it was rolled into the park package because the costs associated with the park package didn't have to be clearly disclosed. This bill will prevent that sort of activity in the future, and we believe it will benefit not only tenants but also contractors, dealers, and park owners. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Ms. Pellegrini, Mr. Miner has testified that he is willing to work with the Department of Justice on the amendments that would be necessary to move forward. And I'm just confirming with you that that's your understanding and agreement as well.
Chair Gordley, that is correct. The amendments we're asking, in essence, what they do is they incorporate the parole evidence rule into the bill and make clear that the statement of costs that the provider gives and the statement of improvements that the park owner gives is going to be a complete writing, and that other evidence about the agreement can't be brought in except under certain circumstances as defined in ORS 41740. So that's our amendment.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
Madam Chair, John Brenneman, Manufactured Housing Communities of Oregon. Thanks for the opportunity to support Don's Dash 4 amendments for 2702A engrossed, and appreciate the fact that he's been willing to accommodate my members.
Okay, thank you very much. Colleagues, Mr. Putman will work with the proponents and others to draft the necessary amendments so that we can move the bill forward on another occasion. And we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2702A engrossed. And
we'll just close the hearing.
Yes, we do.
And Madam Chairman, I ordered the amendments, and I'll have this on, it's your pleasure, on Monday's agenda.
With the consent of the chair, that would be fine. Are we ready to move to
no.
On House Bill 2186?
Oh, yes, we can do that.
Oh, sure.
Work session on House Bill 2186.
Madam Chairman, when you heard this bill before, we understood there was a couple of small changes that needed to be made. One was to insert a ORS citation that had been left out. And second, the bill required some annual reports, and since these licenses are for 2 years, they had to change that to get corresponding language. And then finally, legislative counsel had drafted conflicts to take care of a conflict with House Bill 2609. The amendment that you have here today, which is the Dash 3, takes care of all three issues.
Thank you, Mr. Putman, and the chair is ready for a motion.
Thank you, Mrs. Deckard's turn.
I beg
your Madam Chair.
Senator Stark.
Dash 3. Move the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2186.
Senator Stark moves the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2186. Is there any objection?
Good.
Madam Chair, move House Bill 2186 as amended to the Senate floor to pass recommendation.
Senator Starr moves House Bill 2186 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any objection? council orders and close the hearing on the work session on House Bill 2186A in Gross.
We'd also be the volunteer, Madam Chair.
Senator Corcoran, thank you.
Well, it's like he's getting to be a darn staff person in here. Doing all his work for him. I don't get paid for any of this.
Open the work session on House Bill 2189A in Gross. Mr. Putnam.
Yeah. And then you do a percentage on the base on how good you do on the votes?
Let's do it.
All right, it's a deal. First one we'll do is on dereg repeal.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, 2189 also needed conflict resolution, which has been drafted by legislative council. But in the same time frame that this bill was being heard, a suit was before the court that caused the Construction Contractors Board to want to change language to remove ambiguities that are in there about the timeliness of processing claims. And that language has also been embedded into the Dash 3 amendments that are before you. The conflict was with House Bill 2188, and that's resolved with the Dash 3 amendments.
But, Madam Chair?
Senator Corcoran.
If you remove all the ambiguities, this guy ain't going to have a job next session.
Mm-hmm. We're making more of them every day.
Oh. It's an ongoing
problem. Ongoing.
I think he's really.
Did you have a motion, Senator Corcoran?
No, I'm sure.
Fine. You think the next
guy will care?
I'm sure.
I move ASBM A3 amendment to House Bill 2189.
Senator Starr moves the Dash A3 amendments to House Bill 2189. Is there any objection?
Well, Madam Chair, I'm having a hard time hearing my colleague to my right because of the clutter that's coming from far.
He's complaining about you, Colonel Plank. Do you hear that?
Are there any other objections?
We can take your lives.
I think his training wheels off his
car. So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2189 is amended to the Senate floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2189
well, we already did
A and Gross to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection?
Not the one, I was carrying.
So ordered and a carrier.
Senator I'm already Atkinson. Carrying too much of a heavy load here. Let
Senator Atkinson will carry.
It would be thrilled to carry another.
Madam Chairman, I just want to call Senator Atkinson's attention to the fact that Mr. Cadell is not wearing his contractor's tie. Do you still wish to be the carrier of
the bill? Could go down in flames because of his choice of neckwear.
I won't vote for it unless Gifford Pinchot is mentioned again.
All right.
Open a work session on Bill 720.
Flag I'm carrying. Say
Madam Chairman, when 720 was before the committee earlier, I believe it was Senator Deckert who had concerns about language on what constituted a... A presumption on a defense. I believe the amendment that's before you, the Dash 1, clarifies the language so that the standard for defending yourself against the charge that you've engaged in unlawful practice. It had been that they had to make a reasonable effort to implement practices. The proposed language simply says they have to have actually implemented reasonable practice.
Thank you, Mr. Putnam. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair.
Senator right. Starr.
Move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 720.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 720. Is there any objection?
Well, no. Madam Chair, I just need to... Can Mike, can you come up?
Thank you, Mr. Dewey. Senator Decker?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Can we just, for the record, Mike,
And thank you. Mike works very closely with me on this. We worked last session on the sweepstakes bill. Just, could you, just for the record, talk about what these
yes.
amendments are going to do?
Madam Chair and Senator Decker, for the record, Mike Dewey, representing the Direct Marketing Association. We originally wanted to follow the federal law because the Oregon law had passed prior to the federal law passing on sweepstakes reform. And this language we're discussing is safe harbor language. And we originally took the verbatim statute from the federal law. Senator Deckard had a concern with the word affirmative defense, and some of his colleagues or individuals had thought that that was a way around implementing any program, or you couldn't get sued, the sweepstakes folks would always win. And he had suggested that we take out the word affirmative and put in the word just a defense. Legislative Council informed us pretty strongly that that would weaken the statute as opposed to strengthen the statute. And so we agreed to keep affirmative in, but we wanted to make sure that a company had implemented standards. And it doesn't say that in the federal act, so we think this, quite frankly, goes stronger, that it is, it's stronger than the federal act. And we agree that the language is acceptable to the Direct Marketing Association.
So, Mike, did we, and this is just my memory, at that meeting that we had with Greg, so we agreed that affirmative, we would keep affirmative, we wouldn't strike affirmative altogether.
So, Madam Chair, Senator Deckard, he was pretty emphatic that you needed affirmative in there, that if you wanted a strong consumer law, stronger than what's in the federal statute and the other stuff I talked about, affirmative needs to be in there.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm good.
That's my recollection.
Thank you. Your concerns have been satisfied, Senator Decker?
Mike has done an incredible job of allaying any concerns I had.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dewey.
Thank you.
The motion before us made by Senator Starr is to... has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 720. Is there any objection? Order.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 720 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr moves Senate Bill 720 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objection? Thank you, Senator Starr.
Carrier.
Senator Deckard.
Will carry his
file, yeah.
Great, that will carry.
That's it.
What are we doing on Friday? I heard the House is backing up, so I don't think we should meet Friday.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carthen, Friday we have four bills. Two of them are public hearing and possible work session. And two of them are work sessions on bills we've heard earlier.
Maybe I didn't ask the question correctly. Do we need to hear these bills on Friday? Are they easy bills? Or are we going to be out of here in a timely fashion?
Can we do them now?
Can we do them now? No, we don't have 24-hour notice.
The work session?
It's my opinion that they are, one of them is a two-minute bill.
Okay.
Another one is a five-minute bill.
You've been pretty good at handicapping these lately, I got to say, Mr. Brown. for 7 minutes, I'm counting. Go ahead.
And the other two will take a grand total of 23 minutes.
You have to remember that Mr. Putman is a lifelong bureaucrat, was for the Department of AFS, which was very good at cooking books. So you're saying that it's a 30-minute hearing?
That's my estimate, yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay, all right.
The chairman starts messing with it and putting more bills into it.
Well, Mr. Chair, before we all get away, I would like to ask Senator Harper if he would be willing to share with all of our committee members plans for Monday and the trip over to Klamath Falls. I think what you're doing is just
is this
remarkable.
Is this committee one?
We've
lost the airplane. We didn't want to break it to you.
Okay.
Our airplane is down, so we're scrambling trying to find some other.
Okay.
Hey, you like it or something?
Mm-hmm.
Who was all going to Klamath Falls? They had seats for about 15 legislators that were going to go down. Bucket Brigade, they're going to start at one end of town and pass Bucket to the irrigation canal.
So it's not a fish fry.
Maybe.
Fish would dip out of the lake with a bucket.
How big are the buckets?
Well, we've got airplane problems, so well, you know, we should have this ironed out by Friday.
Senator Corkin, we may move some bills into Friday's agenda.
Once you move some bills out of Friday's agenda, we're in a week or two, we're not going to have any damn thing to do, and the House is going to be still moving their bills. You know,
that's the Senate President's desire, to get us out of bills.
So let me ask the question a different way. What are we doing next Monday?
There are about 9 bills on that schedule right now.
And how many minutes would that last there, Mr. Putman?
That looks like a 2-hour agenda this morning.
I'd say we stay 2.5 hours on Monday and get out of here on Friday.
We will look into that, but
all right.
For now we will plan a potential 1-hour meeting on Friday.
I have a conflict of interest. My son is leaving for 5 months on March 7th. So if I could get out, I could play some tennis.
You missed him 2 months ago.
I missed him 2 months ago?
March 7th.
He left on March 7th. He's gone.
Oh, did I say March 7th? May 7th. Yeah. May, March, I'm Irish. Starts with an M, doesn't it?